to hear from you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. Reed has a mic, right? Reed has a mic. But it doesn't need to be on yet. He's going to come up. I'm going to tell you a few things first, and then what's that banging? Is that? Sorry.
Okay, you're good. Say something.
I'm going to be. Is that better? It's not this monitor in my pocket, but it's the ear thing. Okay. Sorry, guys. Now that I have your attention. How many of you know someone with autism? Ah, I'm sorry. I feel like it's going to fall off. Hang on.
Take your earring off. Let's try it without the earring because I think that stops it.
Okay. And then, Robbie, maybe I'm going to take it off.
Is that funny, Reed? Okay, let's do it this way.
Can you guys hear me? Much better. How many of you know someone with autism? Okay, look around at the hands. I would say that's well over half. So I'm going to tell you a lot of stories from our kind of a sweep of time. Obviously, Reed is an adult. He's 24. And his twin sister is a music therapist back in Massachusetts. I'm going to tell you a bunch of stories that are specific examples from his life of how we used his special interest in music to help him reach his potential. And I think it will have application for you and your kids who are young and have their whole life in front of them. I also think it will have, I hope it will have application for the friends or nephews or neighbors that you know who have autism, because it now impacts 1 in 40 boys. And so if you didn't raise your hand, by the end of the day, you're gonna know Reed, and I think in the next year or two, you're probably gonna interact with either other moms who have a child with autism, or individuals, once your kids get into school, you're gonna have classmates who are experiencing autism, and I hope that this will just broaden your view of how they're made in God's image, right? And the potential that they have and the strengths and abilities that they have in addition to that diagnosis, which sometimes can do them a disservice, let's just say. Okay? So, the first slide. 3 years ago, I wrote a book called One Track Mind, 15 Ways to Maximize Your Child's Special Interest. And it's what we did for Reed, just sort of intuitively because it worked, which was to use music to maximize his special interest. But I believe these principles can be applied to kids who are obsessed with trains or bottle caps or Dora the Explorer. And so I'm not going to go through all 15, but I'm kind of going to give you an abridged version of that. Okay, so the first principle is to study your child. My husband and I had been married 7 years when we decided to adopt. We went through a fair number of infertility, you know, experiments that weren't working, and so we decided to adopt. I'll never forget the phone call I got from a facilitator who asked, would we consider twins? I thought for like 20 seconds and said, yes, I didn't know you could ask for that, you know? 2 weeks later, we had boy-girl twins, and people from our church were dropping off, you know, diapers, car seats, strollers, everything we didn't have time to go purchase. It turns out that the adoption was a leg up for us in terms of this first principle, right? Because we couldn't assume that either one of our kids was going to look like us or love surfing or love art or be like us. We were going to have to study them and pray and ask God to help us discover how they were made, what made them tick, and what his purpose was for them. And I think that's a transferable principle for all of us as parents. Surely in hindsight, Reed was born with a song in his heart. There were lots of early indicators when he was the age of your babies, early indicators that he was very sensitive to sound and that and that music would be central to his life. He was overstimulated in the NICU, where they spent 2 weeks by all the beepers and monitors that were going off. He would cry when he heard songs in a minor key. As a toddler, one time we were in the back of the church. Literally, we had to leave because the music impacted him so much that he was sobbing. And of course, some of these things make sense in hindsight, but in the moment, we didn't know, you know, why is he so upset? Well, it would be music in a minor key. He literally hears things like leaf blowers or dogs barking minutes before the rest of us.
Reed, I think you have to back up with yours, maybe. Sorry about that. So he will
cry because he's hearing those things, or a UPS truck, even before anyone else.
Can you turn it off already?
Okay, next slide. The next principle is to embrace differences. This is not Reed, but he was about this age when we went to Cedar Point Amusement Park in Ohio. Anybody been there? One, two. Okay. So they have an attraction, a karaoke attraction, where kids can go up and sing with Charlie Brown or Snoopy or one of the Peanuts characters. Well, Reed wasn't one to wait in lines at that point. He has learned to do that. Still doesn't prefer it, but that day he made a beeline. He saw the microphone, right, and the front of the line, and made a beeline up to the DJ and made his request for a karaoke song. His first request was "Tis a Gift to Be Simple." Do you know that Shaker folk tune? Nobody knows it. Well, you'll have to look it up on Spotify. They didn't have it. it's a pretty sophisticated, you know, in terms of music history. It's an old Shaker tune. His next request was a reggae song, I think Three Little Birds, maybe, by Bob Marley. They didn't have that. Finally, he sang Happy Birthday because it was the only intersection between their playlist and his encyclopedic knowledge of music. At that young age, he had already cataloged and memorized a number of titles, more than they had. I like that story because I think it illustrates that we have to let go of expectations as parents often before we can dream new dreams. Certainly parents with kids with an IEP or with a diagnosis, that's true. God will give us new dreams for those kids, but we can't have those until we let go of the expectations. Okay. That is Reed. He was a little bit older when we went to Williamsburg. You can tell we're from the East Coast. We sort of gravitate back there for vacations. But Williamsburg, has anyone been there? Okay, good. It's a colonial Americana, it's a whole community and village that replicates colonial America. And every afternoon at about 5 p.m., they have a fife and drum. That guy's head's gotten cut off, but he's one of the fife and drum corps, and they march down Main Street and for about 30 minutes, and they do a whole call and response like they did during colonial times to motivate a community, right, or to send messages about battles. And Reed chased after them the whole 30 minutes, and we chased, you know, behind, trying not to lose him. But his whole body seemed to just proclaim, finally, someone that speaks my language, right? This fife and drum musical sort of communication just made sense to him. And that was how it was real easy to see his affinity for music in multiple ways, but that's sort of where it sort of came together as he was getting older. An affinity is just a fancy word for a passion or a special interest, but it's been dubbed by Ron Suskind, who's a Pulitzer Prize-winning author. I like to tell people to read his book after you read mine. It's called Life Animated. It's also a documentary. Some of you may have seen it. But he has a son a little bit older than Reed named Owen. And Owen taught himself to read by watching Disney credits, the end credits of Disney movies. He was so obsessed with Disney movies. And his dad has gone on to write this book, and then also he's working with Harvard and MIT to create a new intervention modality for kids with autism called affinity therapy. And this goes against the traditional and the most foundational intervention, which is applied behavioral analysis. And so just, I'm not gonna go into great detail there, but in ABA, if a child was obsessed with Disney movies, the protocol would be to break that obsession and to, or extinguish it by not allowing the movies, by not allowing him to carry Disney characters or any of the things that Owen probably did and Reed certainly did. So affinity therapy is the exact opposite of that. It's leaning into the child's interest and it's going with that and using that as a way to teach everything because the child will focus on that and think about that for longer. So I believe that each special interest opens a new curriculum for learning. And I know that in Reed's case, he learned everything through music. So I'm happy to see this kind of shift in autism intervention. Next slide. It was a preschool teacher who first noticed how dramatically Reed's attention span increased when she used music in the classroom. And she asked me, have you ever thought about music therapy? Well, I was a new mom, you know, I hadn't heard of music therapy, but I took her referral, and Reed's had a music therapist on his team ever since. They wrote songs for all his IEP goals. He had an IEP, you know, that was this thick. An IEP, for those who might not know, is an individualized education plan. And any student who has deficits in K through 12, you know, has an IEP that basically outlines the deficits. It's not a great system, but that's how the system works. So he had songs for all his IEP goals. He had a potty training song. He had a greeting song. He had listening to what my body says, a gluten-free song. You name it, we had a song for it. And all his team was, every member of his team was cross-trained so they could support him with music. There was a time I said everything he knows, he's learned through music, whether it was the alphabet or planets or skip counting. So he quickly became a poster child for music therapy because it worked. There was no question it worked, and it was the only therapy he didn't avoid. For kids with autism, they often have a 40-hour-a-week home program of early intervention. And some of you may have friends that are doing this now. It's quite grueling. It kind of turns your house into a clinic, or it can. And imagine if you were a kid who everything was hard for you and you spent 40 hours a week in therapy, right? Therapy, by definition, is doing something that's hard for you, getting help to do that thing. So whether you are working a shoulder after an injury or whether you can't blow out a candle and you're having oral motor exercises with a speech therapist who's helping you do lip rounding, it's hard. So I often felt like music gave Reed his childhood back because it made all of that therapy more fun and innately pleasurable. Okay, next slide. So music therapists tend to be highly intuitive and very empathetic. We've known more than a dozen over the years, and one in particular for 13 years, so you're gonna hear a little bit more about her. When Reed was 9 years old, she invited him, she was launching her business, her music therapy business, and that business card on the last slide with Reed's face on it was her business card. So she was launching this new business and invited Reed to sing with her at the NBC Health Fair downtown San Diego, which is about 30 minutes from our house. And it sounds like we do that all the time now, but that was a first invitation, and I thought, oh boy, I don't know if I can, even at 9, getting him downtown and navigating the sensory overload that a busy city represents was daunting. But I said, okay, you know, we'll try it. So I had both kids, and we went downtown, and the whole drive, I was preparing Reed for the fact that we were going to have to hold hands and cross the street. There's going to be lots of cars. My biggest concern was a four-story Tower Records. Anybody remember Tower Records? We speak to college kids, college classes, and they don't know what Tower Records is. Anyway, there was a four-story Tower Records, and my concern was if Reed got in there, it was between the parking garage and the stage, and I thought if he gets in there, we won't get out of there till sunset, because transitions are difficult for people with autism, or especially kids, and I knew that you know, browsing media was just a black hole for him. So I was really emphasizing that, like, we got to find Angela, and after you sing, do a great job, and we'll go to Tower Records. When are we going to Tower Records? After Angela. So we get, we parked. By then I was working up a sweat, but I had both kids by the hand. Reed looked up at me, and he said, "Mom, just get me to the stage." And that was his self-professed niche, right? Once he was on stage, he knew exactly what to do because he and Angela had practiced. So the practice and rehearsal components of music really suited his brain. Even at 9 years old, he was doing shout-outs, kind of a Clark Kent syndrome took over on stage. He was suddenly self-aware and unexpectedly able. Angela had taken his special interest in music to the next level by identifying his innate performer, which even channeled a lot of his attention-seeking behavior. So this was a real turning point for us. Okay. Sorry. Reed's self-perception and identity began to change at this point as he began to say, "I'm a musician." There's something he could be proud of, and his self-esteem was shaped by that. Okay, next slide. This is Angela, picture of Angela. And we didn't set out to make her a mentor, but certainly over 13 years that happened. Reed was... at 13, he wanted to be baptized in our church. Angela helped him write his statement of faith as a song, which he sang, and you can hear on YouTube or his website. At 16, she gave him a Christmas gift of a recording session, which enabled her to mentor him in another way through the recording process and the songwriting process, because the hook was they were going to record an original song, which meant, of course, they'd have to write it first, right? So she was motivating him and helping him develop new skills through that passion. Angela hosts a spring break day camp for her younger clients called Camp Jam. And she invited Reed to be a guest musician and join her at that camp. Well, I should say, too, the first song they wrote was Shine. Well, the very first song was the baptism song. Then she gave him the recording session, and they wrote a song called Shine, which you're going to get to hear. And that went so well, that process of writing and recording, that we stuck with it because it was another way to build skills and engage him in age-appropriate activities. So they went on to write a number of color songs. And those color songs are perfect for preschoolers, right? Because Reed knew his colors. He could write songs about them. And it was accessible language that was great for him to use in the songwriting. But Angela invited him to sing the songs to her preschool clients who were actually learning their colors. So the content was educational to them. And I'd like to tell a story here. Reed has done this now a number of times, but this was the first time. And as we arrived, he was to arrive early and do a run-through of the songs, and they had about 12 kids with autism and 12 buddies in a back room doing a quiet activity. But when we first walked in, there was a little boy, we're going to call him Johnny, down on the floor with his ears covered, just screaming. right, in such distress. And an aide was trying to calm him down, but nothing was helping. He was just fried after a three-hour morning day camp in this setting. So my concern walking in was, oh boy, Johnny's upset. That means this is gonna set Reed off too, because it was difficult for him to separate his own emotions from other emotions in the room at that point in time. But Reed really surprised me that day. He walked in and he got down on the floor next to Johnny. He said, "Johnny, shh, count to 10 with me." And they counted to 10. He said, "Take a deep breath. You gotta be quiet. I'm gonna play a song just for you." And he went over and did his whole run through. And then it was time for the other kids to file in, which they did. Immediately became too much for Johnny, so they switched rooms and he was in the back, upset again. But he didn't miss the show because Reed gave him his own show. And that meant so much to me because Reed had learned empathy, right? He was able to emulate and copy and easily take on this junior therapist role, that doing what Angela had done for him, right? So she had become a mentor, and now he could mentor others. And just 5 years prior, he had been little Johnny. Okay.
Remember what happened is you were dancing around the room while I was playing some chords, right?
And yeah, I was dancing around the room while you were playing some chords. Remember that?
And you were kind of conducting.
I was conducting.
With a drumstick mallet.
Yeah.
Yes. And then all of a sudden, you shut the door and you said, "Door automatically closed."
Door automatically closed.
And you
That's
said,
one
I'm
of the
magician.
Verses. I'm a magician.
With an orange piano.
With an orange piano.
And so I said, those sound like great song lyrics. So we wrote them down and they became the lyrics for
the orange piano song.
I'm a magician.
An audio clip, if you were ready for that. We have a lot more audio clips coming up, and so the way we're running it today, they're gonna start before I can set them up. That was Reed and Angela talking about how they wrote the Orange Song, and Reed was fascinated with the labels on automatic doors at the grocery store that say doors automatically close, right? You've seen those? So that was the inspiration for that song about Orange. And he's had lots of other mentors, including a young man who's also on the spectrum and loves to draw and animate. And so Joel made coloring pages that go with each of the color songs. And if your kids like those, they're free downloads on his website. But that's the Orange magician conducting with his orange piano. So at this point, I'm going to summarize kind of there's seven reasons. I think there's one missing there. Seven reasons why I feel like music therapy is the magic behind our story. The first one is that it's cross-curricular, so you can address practically all, any kind of goals through music. It's an innate reward because it's pleasurable, so you don't have to be rewarding with stickers or M&Ms or trips to Target, because music just is innately pleasurable. It employs a relative strength. So in a situation where in a situation with a list of itemized deficits, it's really nice to be able to focus on a strength. And it utilizes the whole brain. So there are literally things that Reed can do with music that he cannot without, because it's using right and left hemisphere. It adapts throughout the lifespan, so it's always age appropriate. We have a music teacher who likes to say that every senior center has a piano. They don't all have a soccer field, right, or a basketball hoop, meaning that music is always applicable, even into old age. It generalizes easily outside the classroom, which I'm going to talk about more in a minute. And the last one you can't see is that it allows for structure and spontaneity at the same time. So very often for a child with autism, their body is out of sync or dysregulated, And the order and structure of the music can be an external source of stability, right, and structure, even while you're allowed to make up your own words and show creativity. So that's kind of a golden combination as well. All right. Generalize every skill. Generalizing skills refers to, I don't know, some of you may know this term, but it refers to a common trait for kids with autism, which means that they have difficulty generalizing skills. What that looks like is they might know how to tie their shoes at home on a Monday, but when they go to school on Tuesday, they can't tie their shoes with the teacher, right? And it's not just tying shoes, it might be a different skill. But you can imagine how frustrating that is for all of them to not have a consistent mastery of some skill. And of course, teachers don't believe the mom when they say, he did it at home. So generalizing skills is something that music also helps with. And the example in Reed's life, he went to 4 different special ed schools, including some were public, some were private. And that's, you know, a really short version of a really long story too. But when he reached high school, he was going to be returning to our local district to Torrey Pines High School, which is a big 2,000 person campus that's intimidating for parents and kids. But he was entering there. He was there about a week when he caught wind of a Torrey Pines Idol contest. TP Idol, like American Idol. So this was a singing contest on campus, and he wanted to be in it. So I had my own trepidation, but his teacher said, no, we can do this. Just get me the track, and we'll do it. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, how's he going to do this? Well, Reed, it was a real milestone because he was able to sing his song Shine, his original song that he wrote. I mean, that's what he wanted to sing. But he sang that before an audience of, you know, the lunchtime quad of thousands of kids. And in essence, he was introducing himself to this new student body, and music became the constant among a number of variables. And he sang that song without me present, without Angela present, without his band, without really anyone familiar. But the song itself became the constant.
Which he liked to hear.
Shine. Thank you.
So this woman was the band director at the school, and she was one of the judges, and she came up to me the next day and said, "Oh, I voted for Reed. I really wanted him to win. He's the only one who sang an original song, right? Everyone else was doing Katy Perry covers or something." And I said, "Oh, that's okay. It wasn't about winning that day. It was about being included, right?" And there's a chapter on inclusion. It's the shortest chapter in my first book, and it's the topic of my second book, which is radical inclusion. And so it's not about winning, but it is about having everyone included. And my call to action in the second book is that our kids, and even more so adults with autism, need to be radically included, not just have a similar program segregated off in the side or working in the back of Marshall's emptying shoeboxes, but brought into the crossroads of culture like the quad at lunchtime or like Reed's band, which had a CD release party at the Belly Up, which is a regular popular nightclub in Solana Beach. But there's a difference. It's not a segregated art workshop. It's a gallery exhibition for those who paint. Right, and that's it's about being included and having a place at the table. Okay, next slide. I'm glad that audio clip didn't go. Thanks, Robbie. We're actually not gonna use that one. When Reed finished high school, my husband and I were on a dinner date trying to figure out what was he gonna do in lieu of leaving for college. My daughter was going off to become a music educator, changed her major to music therapy, but we knew Reed was gonna need something more stimulating than folding pizza boxes an hour at a time or emptying shoe boxes in Marshall's, which were his workability placements in the transition program. Great job experience, right? But not gonna be motivating or relevant for someone like Reed, who likes to lead and is creative and loves music. So somehow, knowing him well enough, we had just an idea of what if he had his own podcast. And we started that 3 years, well now it's been 4 years. 4 years later, it is going strong and we release a new podcast each month. And he's interviewed folks like the head writer of Sesame Street here, gospel singers, Andy Grammer, a bunch of folks, and he's going to tell you a lot more about it. But what I want you to listen for here is not the idea that every kid with autism will have a podcast, but the idea that every kid with autism belongs and has a place in community. And they need our help doing more than thinking outside the box. They need our help removing the boxes that keep them out in society. And they need us to believe that there are no boxes. Okay, Reed is passing out his podcast postcards, but now he's gonna hustle up here and tell you a lot more about it.
Next slide.
Awesome. And no. The last question is, will you...
We're here at WSM Radio in Nashville. Right. We're here to interview Bill Cody. Okay. The host of Coffee, Country, and Cody.
Oh, say that again. Say that part again. Say it just like that.
All right. We are at WSM Radio in Nashville. We're here to interview Bill Cody, the host of Coffee, Country, and Cody.
Yes. It's just like I'm on the air when I hear you say that.
Do you love Dolly Parton?
Yes, and you know what, Reed?
What?
She loves me.
She loves you?
Yes, she does. You ask her. Have you interviewed her yet?
No.
When you get a chance to interview Dolly Parton, ask her if she loves Bill.
All right. I'll think about it. I'll consider it. That's really funny, Bill. All right. Hi, my name is Ree Moriarty. I want to share a few highlights of my first 50 podcasts. So let's get started. This is a picture of me with Bill Cody. He's the country DJ in Nashville,
and free things about Reed. I'm funny, I'm smart, I'm happy. Free things that I like. I'd like to look for VHS tapes at thrift stores, go swimming and eat kidney beans. Next slide. You can find all of my podcasts on SoundCloud, YouTube, or ReedMoriarty.com. And I like to listen to them over and over again on my mom's phone. Next slide. This is a picture of me with Amy May. We did this interview in a teepee. She bakes wonderful cookies and she grew up in Hawaii. Then we start to ask some famous people. Next slide. First one to say yes was Mr. Gray Karras. He's the CEO of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio. He has a wonderful museum, and he met Alison Krauss. Right, next slide. Then I got to interview Dan Bain, the CEO of Trader Joe's. He has a big Hawaiian t-shirt made to fit his Hamafe Viva Ole. And his favorite Trader Joe's item is mandarin orange chicken, Reed's barbecue chips. I like to work there someday, but now I work at New Village Arts with Sitchai. All right, next slide. Next, I got to interview Josh Kirkhoff. He's the pastor who baptized me when I went to Solana Beach Presbyterian Church. He loves to laugh even in worship. So here's this clip about skipping church.
Okay, then.
Have you ever skipped church?
No, I've never skipped
never,
church.
Never? That's good.
No,
good.
I never skipped church. I go to North Coast Calvary Chapel with my family.
And you never skip. That's
I
good.
Would never skip church.
Okay.
Well, we have skipped Solana Press Church, but we have not skipped North Coast Calvary Chapel.
I love it, Reed.
All right, next slide. Does anyone know the band Rent Collective? I was so excited to interview the lead singer, Chris Llewellyn. He knows lots of worship songs. His favorite Bible story is Gideon Reads with Noah, and here's how he talks in his Irish voice. Brilliant? I've had a lot of musical guesses. Next slide. Including pop star Andy Grammer. He played in the produce aisle of Walmart. And his favorite staple from Whole Foods is Perrier water. Here's Andy's clip.
Okay, is there anything you'd like to ask me, Andy?
Yeah. Let me get some good, because I have a lot of questions. What makes you the most happy?
What makes me the most happy is seeing you on stage.
You stop it. Is that real?
Yeah, it is real.
All right.
High five.
Boom. High five it.
All right, next slide. And then I got to interview a gospel singer, Babby Mason. She played church piano in her daddy's church since she was 9 years old. And we talked about songwriting. She told Reed, write everything down. And at the end of the interview, she said, thank you, Reed, you're good. Here's Babby's clip.
The first question, Babby, is what job do you think you'll have in heaven?
Oh my goodness, Reed, what a wonderful question. I think I'll be a fashion coordinator. You know, what kind of like cool robes. And then I'm sure I'll have something to do with in the music department. I'll be in the alto section of the choir for sure.
Then I got to interview Cap Moe. He's a Grammy Award-winning blues singer. And I like to go to the sound check instead of the show because the applause really bugs me, and that's where I get street team posters and hang them up around town. So next slide. Then I got to interview my music therapist, Angela Navy. We wrote Purple Party and Shine, the two CDs that were recorded. And
Okay, yes, Angela's clip. Tell me one of your dreams for the future.
Well, you want to know a real dream?
Yes.
A real dream would be, I like to think big, to be nominated for a Grammy.
Okay, Angela, that's amazing.
I don't expect to win, but maybe in the children's music category, there's a chance. What do you think?
There is a chance, Angela.
That's on my dream board for my life, is to someday, for them to announce the name and say, nominated in the children's music category is...
Okay.
Angela Navy and the band.
And they would applaud for that, Angela.
You think so?
I think so.
Okay.
Angela wants to win a Grammy, and I want to be on Broadway like Kim Foray. She's the understudy for Cinderella, and she's a famous Broadway actress. And she has a lot of costume changes, and she likes to eat candy backstage. What bugs Kim are subways in New York. And I also go to Boston because my sister Allie, next slide, doesn't work at Berklee College of Music, but next slide, I got to interview Josh Cantor, the Boston Red Sox organist. He's also a music librarian at Harvard. He's more into music than baseball. He thinks Fenway Park is improvisation theater. So here's Josh's clip.
It was nice talking to you.
It was very nice talking to you, too. Can I tell you a story, Reed?
What?
When I was listening to your interview with Greg Harris from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Greg is a friend of mine, so I was excited to hear him be interviewed by you. And I heard you tell him that one of your favorite songs was, I think it's called Let's Go Fly a Kite.
That's from Mary Poppins.
Or Mary Poppins, which is also Julie Andrews. And I really like that song a lot, too. I was playing it this morning while I was waiting for you to get here.
Aww,
right? Really? It sounds like this.
That's it. Just like that. Do you know these words, Allie?
You do.
Abby doesn't know these words yet.
All right, next slide. And then I got to interview Samuel Adams. He's the captain of the Boston Tea Party ship in Boston. I asked him if he knew the line from Mary Poppins. He said he has never heard of Mary Poppins. And then I've had a lot of guesses along the way. All right, next slide. Does anyone know who this is? Raise your hand. Yes. Yes, Temple Grandin. The trickiest part was she tried to interview me. And I said, no, I'm here to interview her. And she likes to watch Monsters, Inc., which is her favorite movie. And next slide. Then I got to interview the head writer and voice of Murray, Joey Mancerino. His first job as a kid was working at a balloon shop. His favorite letter was M, Reed's Wazar. And after I interviewed Murray, he put Murray in a special duffel bag. So here's his clip.
Can you tell me how to get to Sesame Street? How to get to Sesame Street?
One more time.
How to get to Sesame Street?
Awesome job, Reed.
That's awesome.
Are you a
musician? That's a lovely theme song.
It is. I like it too. Are you a musician?
I'm a musician.
What do you besides your beautiful voice? What else do you play?
I play keyboards.
Do you really?
Yes.
What's your favorite song to play?
I like the Red Song.
What? How does that go?
This is the Red Song by Reed La 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 O.
You wrote that yourself?
I wrote it myself with Angela. Actually, I wrote it with Angela.
Really?
She's my music teacher.
And do you, if you're trying to learn a new instrument, because I would like to learn an instrument, what's like the most important thing?
I think you should learn how to play guitar.
I would totally rock a guitar.
Okay.
I think you and I, we could have a band.
Okay.
That would be awesome. We could call it Reed and the Monster. Or Furry Reed. Or something like that.
Okay.
That would be awesome. You think we could do it?
I think we will do it.
Yeah, fist bump.
Fist bump. And now, it's your turn, Joey Massimino.
Okay, I'm gonna go. I don't wanna be here for this.
Okay.
I'm leaving.
Bye, Murray.
Bye, Reed. See you later.
All right. So, and now it's your turn.
We're not gonna do that today.
Of course. So do you have questions before we end with Purple Pari?
Got a very fun closing song. And then we'll stick around the table for questions, and we have discussion questions for you guys coming up on a future slide.
Everybody stand up on your feet. And echoes after I say purple, platypus, presents, poppins, poppy seed, pray. Okay.
We're gonna dance all night at a purple party. Put your polka dot shoes on. We're gonna dance all night at a purple party. Put your party hats on. We are eating purple cabbage, dancing with a purple platypus. Purple penguin passes out presents. You're eating ones. Gonna dance all night at our purple party. Put your polka dot shoes on. Gonna dance all night at our purple party. Put your party hats on. We are watching Mary Poppins. We are eating purple poppy seed cake. They are great. Show us your purple dance. 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 Gonna dance all night at our purple party. Put your polka dot shoes on. We're gonna dance all night at our purple party. Put your party hats on. Go. Gonna dance all night at our purple party. Put your polka dot shoes on. Gonna dance all night at our purple party. Put your party hats on. Here we go.
So, Robbie, if you advance a few more, they're going to be discussion questions right there.
They're on your table, too. Okay. Here, leave it on. Thank you so much. Oh, my goodness, Reed. I am so impressed with your singing. Give me a high five. Woo! I love your story of overcoming and just the hope. And it. You, I loved it. Thank you. This is for you guys. Yeah, and now you guys get to go into your discussion questions. But thank you so much, Reed. Thank you, Andrea.